Before we begin our lesson this morning, I just want to say a couple of seconds, just take a couple of seconds to say how proud I am of this congregation. Because this congregation, probably 90% of the members of this congregation turned out for the meeting with Kyle Butt, and most of them were here most of the 3 days, if not all 3 days that he was here. And it was just a fantastic time to study God's word and listen to what he said about evolution and those things of that nature and the existence of God. Just fascinating. And I'm so glad that our congregation was well represented. We had a good representation, mostly from the north part of the valley, which is strange to me, but we didn't have much participation from other congregations south of us, which we do a lot of our men's nights with. But man, they turned out in droves from the north part of the valley, which was good because we got to meet new people. So that was very good. I just wanted to thank you and tell you how proud I am of you for turning out for our gospel meeting. We'll start where we always start, and that's with the Word of God. If you have your Word of God, please hold it up. And I want to show you this passage right here, Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. I want to pray this psalm, and I'm going to change some of the pronouns to plural. So sometimes you can pray the psalms, and I think this would be a good prayer for each one of us individually. Father in heaven, show us your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Savior. And our hope is in you all day long. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great prayer. This should be something that we think about every day of our lives. Now, maybe not say the words that we just said from the psalmist here, and that's from the NIV version, but that should be on our hearts. That this is God's word and we believe it. This is our God. Teach us your way so that we can be pleasing to you. And you are our God all day long. Not just a few hours in the morning. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday. All day long, every day. And this is the key to it right here. God's word. We believe in it. And I know you do. This morning's lesson is entitled Commitment. It's from the text Galatians 2:20, which Don read to us this morning already. We're going to look at it a couple more times. And we're going to begin a series of lessons on this topic of commitment. This series of lessons is designed specifically for those who are baptized believers, members of the kingdom of Christ, and recognize people who recognize Jesus as their king. And that's very important. We do that. Now, I've always been fascinated by that we refer to Jesus as our king, which is a spiritual guideline from God's word. But we're not used to a king, are we? So it's kind of hard for us to wrap our head around a king. Now, over in England, they would just drink this up. In other countries where they have a king, they would know exactly what that means. But we have to work at it a little bit. Jesus as our king. We have to get that in our head. And hopefully this lesson, the series of lessons will help us do that. These lessons are greatly needed in the church, and I mean greatly. We all need to be reminded of these things from time to time to keep us on the right track, to keep us faithful to the Lord. Our culture today is one of lack of commitment. We do what we want to do. And I'm not talking about the world outside. I'm talking about let's look at ourselves. We do what we want to do. The church is losing people to Satan each and every day because their commitment is lacking and lagging. It's a serious situation. Up and down this valley and throughout our country, there are churches dying out. They are closing the doors. They are selling their buildings. and they are giving their money to other congregations of the Lord's people and other good works like Apologetics Press, simply because people lost their commitment to the Lord. And they stopped coming. They stopped working. This is something that's very needed. And one of the reasons is our culture today. We do what we want to do. We don't want to do this anymore, so we don't do this anymore. And then it's important to us because our eternal life is at stake. And quite possibly, and I want you to think how deep this goes, the eternal life of many of our family, our kids, our relatives, and our friends, if we lack commitment to do what God wants us to do and follow Him. Not only if we lack our commitment and we fall by the wayside, just think of the generations to come that are going to be affected by that. Maybe our kids won't come to the Lord. Maybe our grandkids won't come to the Lord. And then we have to sit back and wonder, why aren't they here? Well, maybe it's because I didn't show the commitment that I needed to show them. And if I did and they still don't do it, it's on them. But God forbid that be on me. Because I want to do what the Lord says. For my own soul, first and foremost, to me. But what about my kids? What about my grandkids? And down the line, whole generations of families have been lost. Because one generation stopped following the Lord. And as a result, others behind them that would come never knew the Lord. And went on to their eternal destiny, never having come to the Lord. Because they didn't have anybody there to share it with them or to show them the way. It's really important. These lessons will only help us if we are here to hear them. So it's very important to hear these lessons, to meditate on them and think about them as we go through the week. And if we honestly evaluate ourselves and our relationship with God, honestly, no excuses, no rationalizing things away, but honestly look and see, am I really committed to the Lord? Am I or not? Some people may go through the motions, and that's not going to cut it with the Lord. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to be acceptable to the Lord. And He knows it. But am I really committed to the Lord? Our overall text for this morning's lesson, and for this whole series really, is Galatians 2:20, which Don read, and this is from the Apostle Paul. And this, I think, is a definition of commitment in the New Testament. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But I want us to begin this morning's lesson by looking at two accounts of commitment. One of them is found in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, or if you just don't want to look it up, it's in 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 17. And this talks about the mighty men of David. Starting at verse 8. And Don, you'll be grateful I didn't give this to you as a scripture reading. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bashabeth, and the Tachmonite, chief of, among the captains. He was called Adino, the Eznite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. 800 men. Now you wonder, how does he know all those words? I don't. But I say him with confidence, and all of you think I do. Okay? Verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. That's a great name to have. The Ahohite of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose, he didn't retreat, and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Who did that victory? It was that one guy. The one guy. And then all the other people come when everybody else is dead, and then they plunder everything. That one guy. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Ararite, The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. 13. Then three of the 30 chief men, these three, went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. The Philistines are his enemies, and they're gathered all around. And here's David, hold up, they got him trapped. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Oh, I wish I had a drink of this water. That's the best water in the world." Verse 16, so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. Verse 17, and he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Wow. Talk about the Bible being exciting. That's just a small portion of it. The second reading is in 2 Corinthians 11. Why did those three mighty men do that? They did that because they were committed to their king, David. He wanted a drink of water. They went and got him a drink of water because they were committed to him. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 28. Here's Paul talking about the sufferings as he's endured for Christ. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Why did Paul go through all of that? It's because the same reason the three mighty men did. He was committed to his king, King Jesus. The purpose of my lesson this morning is to define commitment, to give an overview of the series, where we are going, and to discuss the need for commitment from us, generally and specifically. So first off, what is commitment? One dictionary gives a definition, this definition. Excuse me. The act or process of entrusting or consigning. I found that very interesting. And thank you, Tim, for 524. I was thinking yesterday, I ought to tell Tim to lead number 524. And guess what he did? He led 524. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed until that day. This is the idea of commitment. Entrusting means to give over something for care, safekeeping, or performance. When we come to Jesus, we commit our lives and souls to his safekeeping. We are saying to the Lord that we believe that he will be faithful in delivering our souls to God on the judgment day. How many of you really believe that? Raise your hand. Some of you are still not committed. Do you believe that? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he will keep that I've committed to him until that day. We have to believe that. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12. I just said it. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that, what I have committed until to him until that day. We just sang about it. That's the idea of entrusting. My sermons are more on the idea of consigning. The second part of that definition, consigning. This aspect of commitment really addresses the focal point of our lessons. Consignment deals with setting something apart or devoting something for special use. We all know what a consignment shop is, I think, where we take things down there, we give it to the shop owner, and they sell it for us. It's consignment. And then if they sell it, they get a portion of it, and we leave it there, okay, consignment. We're entrusting them, and they're going to do something with that, hopefully. It's a consignment shop. The same idea. When we come to Jesus for salvation and entrust our very souls to his care, we also, as part of our covenant with him, are setting ourselves aside for use in his kingdom, whatever that may be. We are devoting ourselves to his service, to doing his will. We commit our souls to his care because we know that it is important for our eternal salvation. We also commit to God because we know that the work that Jesus sent us to do, which God sent Jesus to do, to seek and save the lost, is the work we have been called to do as well. That is our work, period, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus started the mission, and we are here to fulfill the rest of that mission. Therefore, we consign ourselves to him, devoting, committing ourselves to his service because it is important, the most important activity we can be involved in this life is seeking those who are lost and sharing the gospel with them so that they can be saved. That was the main purpose of Jesus, and that is our main purpose as well as children of his in the body. In addition to looking at the definition of in the dictionary, I like to look at synonyms for commitment found in the thesaurus. I like synonyms because they explain a little bit more to me. So, we have the synonym of surrender. We are surrendering our lives to him. We make him a promise to do his will. That's part of the covenant. We give our word to him that we're going to do this. We become involved. We are dedicated. We give him a pledge. We have a sense of obligation now to do that. We have a compact or agreement with him to do that. And then we are devoting ourselves to him and to his cause. And that's what commitment is. But I don't stop there. I like to go and see what others have to say about it. See, look at how others have described commitment. And I have a couple of quotes here. The first one from Vince Lombardi, you know, a guru in football, one of the main guys early on. He said, most people fail not because of lack of desire, but because of lack of commitment. That one struck me because I think most Christians have the desire to please God. I really do. I think they want to please God. They want to go to heaven. But they're not committed to it. They're not committed to it totally. They want to do it, just like Larry wants to go to a Dallas Cowboys football game while he's in Texas. That's what I was referring to. I'm row 199 near the bleed, you know, where his nose is bleeding. But are they committed to it? Is he committed to going to that game? Nothing's going to keep him from going to that game. Is he committed to it? Are we committed to the Lord? Are we going to be successful because we were committed to it? Nothing would hold us back. Or are we going to fail? I mean, we had a desire, but we just didn't put what we needed to get to there. We didn't have enough to make the whole journey. We just, you know, lack of commitment. And then another one. This is anonymous. Everybody knows who that person is. Commitment is the little choices every day that lead to the final results we're striving for. Everyday choices. That's what I liked about this one. Everyday choices that we make to get us to that final result. I just read a book, a really good book on raising kids and family. It was really good. At the very end of that book, they made a similar statement. Live your life with the final result in mind. That's your goal. Live your whole life with that final result in mind. It had to do with this one right here. The everyday choices, that's going to get us to where we want to be with the final result. Somewhere along the line, sometimes people don't make those choices and a result in failure to reach that goal. Is heaven our goal? Is serving Jesus to the best of our ability our goal? Well, it's going to take us to make little choices every day, hundreds of them every day, to reach that goal. And then one final one, commitment is the glue that bonds you to your goals. It's the glue. I was tempted to put super glue in there because not all glue is very good, you know. But super glue, you put super glue, kids don't try this at home. You put super glue on your fingers, stick together like that, you're going to the doctor, okay? Because they have to pry that open and you're probably going to lose some skin, okay? That's the glue that bonds us to our goals. Don't try that at home, kids. You didn't hear it from me. So we get the idea. Commitment is important. Our commitment to God is essential. So here, real quick, is our overview of our series. Over the next several weeks, I want to address many aspects of commitment to the Lord and His work. Commitment to God first. Commitment to God's Word, the reverence for God's Word, the study of it. Private devotion, meditation on it, and the consequences of not committing to it in that lesson. Commitment to worship of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Commitment to the work of the kingdom. Are you involved in the work of the kingdom? Or are you just a worshiper? There's a difference. Worshiping is not work. Okay? The work takes place when we leave this building and go out there and we start doing things. Promote, seeking, and saving that which was lost. Are you a worker? Are you committed to the work? Or are you just a worshiper? Commitment to fellowship, fellowship with each other, and fellowship of being part of the body of Christ. Commitment to family, responsibilities of each member of the family, fathers, husband, men in the church, mothers, wives, women in the church. And then young people, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. We're going to say a little bit about that today. Commitment to the lost and erring, evangelism and discipline. Okay? Are you disciplined enough? Discipling. And discipline to do evangelism, which involves studying and practicing God's word. And our commitment to excellence in what we do in and for the Lord, which should be everything if we are in fact doing all things to glorify God. All these things and more have to do with our commitment to the Lord. And because they involve the Lord, they are important. Not something to just kick to the curb. Well, the need for these lessons. Generally speaking, we have a need because of the world in which we live. We live in a society that has a vision problem. All people tend to see me or I. Me or I. And it's prevalent in the world and it's prevalent in the church. That's all we can see. In our ladies' Bible class, we've been talking about this very thing, fixing our vision. If it's not important to me, then I'm not going to do it. That's a big, big problem. We see it around the world. Lack of commitment to what is really important in this life. I see kids all the time, or used to see kids all the time. I don't think school is that important. So I don't go. It's not that important. I don't need this. I can get a job out there, only to find out that they can't get a job out there. Because they didn't think school was that important. It is important. It's very important. It's not the most important thing in the world. The Lord is, but it's right up there near the top. School is. If you have this attitude that school isn't important, you got a rude awakening coming. Okay, especially when your parents say, you know, it's time for you to leave now that you're 39 years old. Get out of the house. Okay? But anyway, here's another lack of commitment example. My happiness is most important thing to me. And I'm not happy being married to this person. So I break up my family so I can be happy. Why? Because I am the most important thing. Not my kids, not my family, not those people who know us as a couple, but me. It's important to me. And since I'm the most important thing in the world, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Lack of commitment. And here's another one. There is too much hassle to this job, and I like sitting at home playing video games rather than working. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit my job and apply for welfare so I can sit at home and play video games. Lack of responsibility, lack of commitment. What if you have a family? Think about that. I don't like the way my friend talked to me, and so I'm going to kick my friend to the curb and go make a new friend. Why? Lack of commitment. Just because somebody said something to you. We have that problem in the church too. I don't like the way Brother so-and-so said that to me, and so I'm going to go over here to this church over here and worship somewhere else. Because Brother so-and-so, he shouldn't have said that to me. Well, who are you committed to? Brother so-and-so, or are you committed to the Lord? You let Brother so-and-so get between you and the Lord. My Grandma Williams used to always say, if you let somebody else get between you and the Lord, they're closer to the Lord than you are. It's true. Lack of commitment. Commitment to who? Commitment to the Lord. That's who I'm committed to first and foremost. I'll deal with Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so. I can live with their comments. But I have to remain faithful to the Lord. I want to. And that lack of commitment in other aspects of life bleeds right over into our relationship with Jesus and his body, the church. I know I need to study more of the Bible and attend Bible class at church so I can learn more and grow as a Christian. I know I need to do all that. I know I should be doing all of that. Nobody has to tell me to do that. But it's not fun. Why does everything have to be fun anymore? It's boring. Well, sometimes you're boring, you know? If it's boring, I always tell students in my class, if it's boring, if the class is boring, start asking questions and make it more exciting. If it's boring to you, maybe you're not connected. Get connected by asking questions. Get connected by learning more about the subject. Get connected by asking the teacher questions. I'm too tired. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? I'm too tired is one of the most flimsiest excuses I've ever heard in my life. And I've used it. I'm too tired. We're all tired. I'm sure the Lord was tired and didn't want to go to the cross. But he did it. I'm sure God gets tired of us sometimes. When we can't seem to follow him and stay committed to him, but he sticks with us. I don't understand it. I just don't understand the Bible. Well, maybe the reason you don't understand it is because you're not putting in enough time in the Word. You're not asking questions. You're not reading other materials. You're watching Maury Povich. He's not even around anymore, is he? I don't know. Pick a commentator, one of those talk shows. I'm watching that person all day, divorce court or, you know, traffic court, whatever. I'm watching all these things. I'm playing games. I don't understand God's word. You sure understand that game, though. When you started that game, you didn't understand it either. But you kept at it until now. You're the pro. What if you put that same effort into reading the Bible? How long would it take you to master or get better at understanding the Bible? You see, you don't put hours and hours into the Bible, but we put hours and hours into that game. I've got other things to do. I've got a whole list of things to do. I just got to get them done. Well, you know what? The sun is going to rise in the morning, give you a whole nother day to do it. And if it doesn't, wouldn't you be better off doing the things that are important to the Lord? Man, that'd be horrible. I didn't go to services for the last month because I had other things to do, Lord. Well, you got hit by a bus, you know, and you're standing before the Lord now. And, Lord, I didn't have time for you because I had to do all this other stuff. Now that I think back, that probably wasn't the best decision, was it, Lord? He's going to say, no. It wasn't the best decision. What about your commitment to me? Those other things, I'll give you another day to take care of those things. What about the things that are important to me? Commitment to the Lord. God tells us in his word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Know what God wants. And in the process, we become sanctified, made holy, set apart for his word. It's amazing. And what amazes me over the years studying the Bible on me is the more I study, the more I want to study more. And the more I practice what he says, and I don't always do it, just like you. But the more I do it, the better my life gets. And the more I'm transformed to be pleasing to God, the more I get into his word. And he tells us right here in these two passages that are on the screen that that's what's going to happen. What about being committed to the worship of God? It involves getting out of bed on time. Why? To worship God. It involves being on time, if not early. Why? Now I'm really stepping on some toes, aren't I? See people doing this, and looking down at their shoes. Being on time, why? Because you're worshiping the God of this world who loves you. And you're his children. I'm his children. I want to be on time. Being mentally prepared, physically, spiritually prepared to worship God. Thinking about it, planning for it on Saturday, looking forward to it. And then being here on time to worship God. What a privilege we have to worship God. And then participating in the worship. Listening, singing, praying, giving, partaking of the Lord's Supper. Not getting up and down, in and out, distracted by the phone that I must answer, by the way. If that phone goes off, I've got to answer it. That is the most important thing in the world during worship. Is when my phone goes off, I've got to answer it. We are addicted to our phones. Can't we turn our phones off while we worship the God of this world? Being committed to fellowship in the body of Christ, participating in times of fellowship, building those bonds. Why not fellowship with the brethren? We got time for everything else under the sun. Why not having time for the brothers and sisters in Christ? Why not in fellowship, living right to preserve that fellowship? That's important. Living right, because if I stumble and fall or I commit a sin, it's going to bring reproach upon the body of Christ. Guess what I've done? I've just made all of you look bad. So I need to live in such a way that will preserve that fellowship, the body of Christ. What about being committed to the work of the kingdom? Leaders, elders, deacons, preacher. We need to be committed to leading and fulfilling our responsibilities, setting the examples for others to follow. Members in general, committed to following their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the leaders who are faithfully trying to imitate Jesus in their lifestyle. What about being committed to our family? Husbands and fathers need to take the lead in raising their families in the Lord. It is your God-given responsibility as heads of the spiritual head of your household. Do not relinquish it. Don't give it up. Too many men are giving up that responsibility today. They're giving it to their wife, or they're giving it to the preacher. It's your responsibility, and on the day of judgment, God's going to hold us accountable for it. He is. I guarantee you he is. Don't give it up. Take the lead. Wives and mothers are to be committed to having a home that is spiritually minded, being involved in good works, setting an example for the children to follow. Teens and youth need to be more committed to being respectful to their parents, kind, and God-fearing. Why is this all important? Why is it so important for us to be committed to the Lord and his work? There are three reasons. First, because he was committed to us. Don mentioned this morning in class. God could have left us in this state of sin. but he didn't. He provided before the foundation of the world to save us through Jesus, his Son. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Secondly, we ought to be committed to each other because of his great love for others. I should love them too and be committed to their well-being. The very next verse, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I need to be committed to you. You need to be committed to me. And thirdly, we ought to be committed to the Lord and his work because he was committed to lost souls. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here's Jesus' mission. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Most of us here this morning made that initial commitment to God when we were baptized into Christ. So the question for us as we begin this series and continue through it is, how is your commitment today? Is it all that it should be and can be? Is there room for improvement? Would the Lord be satisfied with my commitment to him? And am I willing to make an effort to improve my commitment to the Lord? In conclusion, the three mighty men of David, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking of how they could please their king, no matter what. I envision in that reading, they shot right up, they looked at each other, and they were gone. Why? Because they were committed to their king. No matter what. Paul, through all his suffering, he wasn't thinking about himself. He thought of what was pleasing to the Lord. He was committed to the cause of Christ. And then Jesus. Jesus didn't think about his desires during his suffering and sacrifice. Instead, he thought of his desire to please and obey his Father's will. He thought of us, yes, and how what he was doing was so needed for us to have our sins removed. He was the ultimate in total commitment to God, his Father. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Am I as committed as I can be? That's what I'm going to be asking myself as we go through this. And I hope you ask yourself those same questions as well. This morning you're here and you know already that you've lacked in your commitment. You don't have to come forward. You just have to, where you're sitting right there, rededicate your life to the Lord. Lord, I need to do what you want me to do. I need to make some changes in my life to get that accomplished. I need to think with the end result in mind. I need to wake up every morning and ask you to teach me your ways and help me to follow in your ways so that I can be with you in eternity, so that I can be pleasing to you. A lot of questions, a lot of self-evaluation. Maybe you're here and you've done that. Rededicate your life to the Lord this morning. If you sin publicly, you're a member of the body of Christ, you sin publicly, and everybody knows you sin. People know that you are a member of the body of Christ, and you sin, and you made us all look bad, and you've already asked God to forgive you. Now it's time to come forward and tell this body, your brothers and sisters, listen, I've sinned, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If you need to do that, please do that. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, commit yourself to the Lord today. Because as Don, we talked about in class this morning, if you're not in Christ, the blood of Jesus does not cleanse you. And the way into Christ is through baptism, obeying the gospel, believing, repenting, confessing, And they mean baptized into Christ, where the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all unrighteousness. You enter into a covenant with the Lord, and you try to remain faithful to that covenant and committed to that as long as you live, to the best of your ability. And God will help you do that. We'll help you do that. If you haven't done that this morning, please do so. For those who are committed, keep on being committed. Keep on doing what you're doing. Listen, Don also mentioned something else in class this morning about him coming back and teaching in a couple of weeks when he gets back. And about, you know, the brevity of life. And that he was of the age that he could die at any time. That's what you said. You know what? All of us are at the age when we could die at any time. Not just Don. Don's ancient. He's closer to the door than a lot of us age-wise. But you know what? We're all there. None of us are guaranteed any more time. And man, isn't that scary? Looking over your shoulder? When's my time coming? I don't want to be around here, so I might have a gun. Living a life of fear, that's not for God's people. God's people walk through life with their heads up, with courage, without fear, because they're ready to go. Are you ready to go this morning? If not, why don't you come right now while we stand and sing?